keyboard player and musicologist Robert Levin tells us, at the time Mozart composed and introduced his groundbreaking keyboard concertos, they were anything but classics. Their language was and remains a volatile synthesis of elegance, charm, impishness, audacity, operatic staginess, earnestness, pathos, and tragedy. A performance style capable of encompassing such vast dramatic scope must have been imbued with spontaneity and characterized by a directness of discourse far removed from the preoccupation of recent generations of Mozart performers with beauty of sound, grace, and piety. As performance aesthetics have shifted from speaking a living language to the ever more perfect and dazzling reproduction of established texts, a sense of improvised discourse has yielded to painstakingly replicable performances, and actual improvisation has disappeared. This recorded performance aspires to the values of an earlier time. Not only were all embellishments and cadenzas improvised, but the shaping of the solo rhetoric changed from take to take. The element of risk was at the forefront. The decision to improvise cadenzas, despite the survival of a wealth of authentic alternatives, was not taken lightly. After considerable reflection, soloist, conductor, and producer felt that observing the spirit of Mozart's concerto performances instead of the letter of their transmission was especially important and a logical outcome of the historical performance movement. We are fully aware of the peril of our choice. Even the most inspired cadenza cannot bear comparison with Mozart's peerless invention. However, an audience that knows and anticipates every note of the authentic cadenzas as well as the concerto proper is deprived of the critical element of uncertainty that is the very raison d'être of the cadenza. While a recording necessarily brings familiarity over time, it is our intention to present this Mozart cycle as a series of idealized live performances, preserving the whims of a particular moment, representing, as it were, those many concert performances whose improvised cadenzas survive, if at all, in the memories of the audience. It is my hope that in taking the risks associated with this decision, others will be encouraged to follow suit. When improvisation regains its former position at the center of classical music making, perhaps the gap between composer and performer, between old and new music, between vernacular and art music, and between classical performer and audience will narrow. Words of Robert Levin. It's just such excitement that will be present in a performance tomorrow evening in Scranton as Covenant Presbyterian Church presents a concert by the award-winning organist Jason Roberts. Jason Roberts was appointed director of music ministries at Blessed Sacrament in New York City in January 2019. He previously served as associate director of music at St. Bartholomew's Church in New York and at St. James Episcopal Church in West Hartford, Connecticut. He keeps an active recital schedule, and he has been a recitalist for national conventions of the American Guild of Organists and the Association of Anglican Musicians. He is a graduate of Rice University, Yale University, and the Manhattan School of Music, and he has won awards for improvisation at the St. Albans International Organ Festival and the Harlem International Organ Competition. He is a winner of the AGO National Competition in Organ Improvisation, and he is on the faculty at Westminster Choir College in Princeton. We had a chance to speak with Jason by phone as he was in a car heading from New York City to Scranton, a car driven by the esteemed organist and music director at Covenant Presbyterian Church, Christopher Johnson. Jason has a lovely memory of turning his family garage into a cathedral, and that's where we began.
I sang in the cathedral choir when I was very young in Perth in West Australia, and the cathedral was, you know, this sort of grand place, and it fascinated me, and so I recreated it at home in the garage, complete with robes and an organ, which was just an electronic keyboard. But that was my first experience playing for church, I guess you could say.
What struck me about the story, Jason, is not that you were inspired and creative in that moment, because you were, but it also seems to speak to a sense of the drama, the theatricality, too, of liturgy. And you're going through and you're making a stage set there and you're playing, and you said maybe a friend was taking a role as a celebrant or something like that. It just seemed that even early on you might have had a sense of the importance and the impact of liturgy on that level.
Yeah, I think so. It's a bit like sort of an opera, but it's real.
Also, it wouldn't surprise me that you would be interested in improvising before a silent film, because again, there's that sense of drama and storytelling in that way. Yes, secular, of course, but there's also a story being told in a liturgy when we start at the beginning and we work our way through and get to the end there. We're going through an arc of sorts, and you're taking us with you and creating, in case of the film accompaniment, you're creating a kind of an emotional through line for us to go with the story and get us to the end. Those were the things that came to me when I was thinking about how early you were sensitive to the notion of liturgy and what that entailed.
I know, you're absolutely right. I think that's what captivated me about it. It was the drama.
And how about the sound of the organ, too? You couldn't get more dramatic than that, more powerful in terms of organ. Yes, there's the diminuendos and all of that beautiful range, but there is that power there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the extremes of loud and soft and all the different timbres. And I do love that it's sort of all the sounds of the orchestra, but you can improvise and use them on the spur of the moment, which is something that an orchestra can't do, isn't it?
We know how you are known and celebrated for your facility at improvising. You're a winner of competitions and so forth. And before we talk about improvisation and the creative process, perhaps, that you go through as an improviser, I think our listeners might be bowled over to know that you have performed improvisations on the All Things Considered theme. How did that come to you?
During the pandemic, I was a little bit bored because my church was closed and I was sitting in my apartment, you know, and so I started making recordings and putting them on Facebook and YouTube and so forth. And I tried to come up with themes that I thought everybody would know. And the NPR theme is a great theme. It really is.
Gave you lots of possibilities to work with.
It does. It makes a great toccata.
We know about the French organists who were well known for their improvisations, Marcel Dupré, for example, and that there were people who transcribed the improvisations. Are those recordings that you have spent time listening to? Do you listen to the improvisers?
I do. I love listening to them. And, you know, of course, I steal their ideas and I try to figure out what it is they're doing and try to sound like them, not just to imitate them, but because I learn something every time I study what somebody else has done. But I should add that that's not the only tradition of improvisation. I mean, it's got a long history in classical music. Chopin and even going back, Mozart and Bach were known as improvisers. And it's kind of something that was lost. And I think most classical musicians don't really improvise except organists. It's still something that organists try to do. But there's also a tradition of sort of more free improvisation, such as the early Baroque German organists would improvise these fantasias as a sort of prelude to a singing of a hymn or to fill in times during the service. For instance, the elevation of the host, the Eucharist, they would often improvise toccatas during that moment in the service.
Do you delight in having Buster Keaton up there or Charlie Chaplin up there on the screen and seeing where you can go with them or where you have a conversation with them as you go through those films?
Oh, yeah, I love those old films. And it's always a thrill to play, you know, to accompany those films. I think I like the comedies better than the horror films. They tend to be a little dark and slow moving, too.
This is Wednesday, and so you are two of the finest organists of your generation, and you're tooling across New Jersey, heading for Scranton and Covenant Presbyterian Church. How will you spend tomorrow?
Well, I'll spend the day getting to know the organ at Covenant, because all pipe organs are different because they're custom built for the spaces that they're in. And so I'll get to know what the stops all sound like and the layout of the console. The button can be in different places for every organ, so it's sometimes a struggle to get to know a new instrument.
Well, you have a whole range of pieces that you know and love to share with other people, so you probably have some sense of it would be a great program if, but at the same time, once you get to know the organ, or as you're getting to know the organ at Covenant, maybe something else gets suggested because of the sound of the organ itself.
Well, for me, it's a bit late to change my program by the time I get to the church where I'm going. So in some ways, you have to trust that the organ will be able to do the things that you want it to do.
And what kinds of things have you thought about sharing?
Well, I'm going to improvise for my entire program, which is, I know, a little bit unusual, but what I'm going to try to do is play in different styles. So I'm going to do an improvised prelude and fugue, sort of in the style of Bach or the Baroque composers. And then I'm going to make a fantasia and fugue in a more romantic style, sort of like Liszt or Mendelssohn. And then I'm going to try to play in a more modern style, like the French 20th century organist. So I'm hoping that the organ can do all those different things.
The overall umbrella of the series of which you'll be a part is titled Music to Feed the Soul. Do you get a sense, not just in liturgical settings, but maybe in a concert performance like this, that we really have a need and a hunger for what music can offer to us?
Well, I mean, I can only speak to how it affects me, and it's something that often moves me very deeply, and so I can only hope that other people will be moved the same way.
Organist Jason Roberts, Director of Music Ministries at Blessed Sacrament in New York City. He is a graduate of Rice University, Yale University, and the Manhattan School of Music. He has won awards for improvisation at the St. Albans International Organ Festival and the Harlem International Organ Competition. And here in the States, he is a winner of the AGO National Competition in Organ Improvisation. And as we heard, Jason will improvise his entire recital tomorrow evening. That's Friday evening, October 3rd at 7 o'clock at Covenant Presbyterian Church, Madison Avenue and Olive Street, in Scranton. Admission is free, but an offering will be taken to support the Dr. Jane Martin Music Endowment of Covenant Church, and donations of non-perishable food items are also accepted for Safety Net. For more information, on the web, covenantscranton.org, covenantscranton.org.